John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. Praise God. And by the help and grace of God, this is, I know you're going to get scared, but help and grace of God, that's all I got. And some of that's just scriptures written out. So, amen. Lord's going to help us tonight. Praise God. But I want to preach to you about the moment before the moment. The moment before the moment. Praise God. I want the Lord to help us here today to bring clarification and revelation. Amen. Jesus, we love you and we appreciate you. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. John 1 and 1, when you have and look in a chronological Bible, I believe that John 1 and 1 is the very first verse of a chronological Bible. In the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Praise God. Before all things consisted and existed, God was. And we know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. And that is, He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And He's everywhere. And God is a spirit. John 4 and 24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm just telling you, we're on the right side. We're on the right side. And the Bible says that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so in reading this scripture, you know, there's a lot of times that in reading the Bible, we have a tendency to read through fast. And kind of got a few chapters out there, and you kind of think, well, I need to check off some chapters today, and so I'm just going to read through these 3 to 5 or 7 chapters, whatever you're doing, and just get through them real quickly. And when we do that, we have a tendency just to read past a lot of things, and we don't understand or we don't get the glean really from it. And so today, I was just reading slowly through this. And said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And then it said, what you know it always says, but it said, and all things were made by Him. All things, there is nothing made. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say, and it said, without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him. Praise God. All things. You can perceive that or draw the conclusion that you can state and say, well, all good things and all bad things, positive things, negative things, whatever it is, were made by Him. I don't believe that He created sin. He gave us the power of choice and allowed us to be able to do that. But everything has a purpose. And you find this when you go over to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1 and verse number 16. And again, it said, all things were made by Him. Or he says, for by Him were all things made. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. Visible. He created the visible things. And the Bible said that he created the invisible things as well. Whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers, the Bible said that all things were created by him and for him. Praise God. Amen. That ought to excite somebody, because there is dimension in that verse right there. There is dimension. There is at least two dimensions listed or a part of that verse. The Bible said all things, whether they are visible or invisible, whether it would be principalities or powers, dominions, or whatever it is, he said all things were created by him and for him. And so when I think about this from a dimensional point of view, I see that God made a lot of things. And the Bible says that as he was creating things in Genesis 1, that he looked and he said, and he saw that it was good. Amen. Everything that he created, he said he saw that it was good. I don't know really what the good in termites are. I don't really know what the good in fire ants are. I don't really know what the good in mosquitoes are. I don't know what the good in gnats are. I don't know what the good in some of these other things are. But God had a good thing about a lot of things. And he said that all things were created by him and for him. And so when you look at this, I see that everything that we would look at and we would say is good, amen, that it was that God created it for him. And we can look at the beautiful tree and the canopy that it would produce, and we can sit under it for the shade, and we can partake of the fruit of the tree, and we can say that all things were created by him and for him, and that it was good. But I just want you to know here tonight that when the Bible says that all things were created by him, then that's exactly what it means. All things were created by him. And if all things were created by him, the remainder of the verse says that it was created for him. I believe that there are some things that was created for his pleasure, such as you and I. Amen. The pleasure of communication, the pleasure of worship, in that we were created to worship him and to commune with him. And we see the plan there in the Garden of Eden, and we can see the goodness of the plan there, and we can talk about a lot of other things, but I also want you to know that there is a lot of opposition unto the good things. There is the things that oppose the good things, and I just want you to know that God had his hand in that just as well. Amen. The things that would oppose, amen. What does that call for? Amen. There's your dimensional thing. There's the good things, but there is the bad things, and we see and understand and comprehend the good things, but we really don't have an understanding of the bad things. But I just submit to you tonight that if everything was good, and if everything was, as they say in the South, hunky-dory, if everything, amen, was pleasurable, and if everything was roses, amen, then there would be no need really for a God that has all power. Amen. If everything was perfectly fine, there would be no need for a God to know everything. He would just be able to place us and everything would just be fine. But God's got a desire that you and I would lean upon him, that we would trust in him with all of our heart, and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, amen, acknowledge him, so that he shall direct our paths. Magnify the Lord today. Praise God. I want you to know tonight that there's just enough negative in our lives, that there's just enough opposition in our lives that keeps the free will of choice right at the tip of our tongue. Amen. Right at the end of our pen. Amen. We can change the course of our life. Amen. By just saying a few words or by just signing a document here or there. There is just enough opposition in your life. Amen. That you can make whatever choice that you want to, but also there's just enough opposition in your life that you're going to come to the conclusion, I cannot do this by myself, and you're going to run back to the foot of the cross and you're going to say, God, I need your protection. God, I need your help. God, I need your healing power. God, I need your direction. All things were created by him and for him. Praise God. It goes on to say that in him was life. Amen. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Amen. He was the plan. And the plan produced light. And the light is a representation of illumination or revelation or enlightenment. Amen. When you are in the dark, that's when fear strikes. And that's when confusion comes. And you don't understand everything that's going on. And you're looking at your life. And you're wondering to yourself, where am I? Or what am I doing? Or what is going on? And you don't know. I cannot just say today that that's where every sinner has to come to the conclusion of. They got to come to that place in life where they think to themselves, what am I doing? What is going on in my life? I just want you to know there is a moment before the moment a man can transpire. There is a moment in the life of the sinner that they get down and they begin in the mully crops, down in the ditch of life, and they begin to think to themselves, what is going on in my life? I have nothing to live for. There's nothing that I can do. I've got all of this confusion. I'm swamped by depression. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And the moment of pressure that is upon them, I just believe that up in the heavens that there is a God, that in him was life, light, and the light was the light of men, and that light began to pierce down into the darkness of the individual, and God begins to call that man out of darkness into his marvelous light, and that light is the life of every man. There's a purpose for where we are today. There's a purpose for what we're facing today. There's a purpose for what we're going to today. But I just want you to know, honey, all things still work together for the good. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what the devil has blew up in your life. There is yet a season. There is yet a purpose. You need to stand on your feet and say, there is no weapon that shall be able to prosper against me. This may be a moment, but it's going to come and lead me unto the moment. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And job situations get crazy and we don't know what's going to happen. I spent some hours today. I don't like talking about this. I try to keep it completely separate. I spent some hours today in my mattress store praying, and I just got down to business with God. I said, God, is this thing eating up too much of my time? God, is this thing a distraction to what you really have for me? God, I'll put it up for sale. I'll close it down. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I want to stay focused on what you would have me to stay focused upon, God.
God, if this is part of your plan, then I want to know it. You understand I'm walking through dark times. I'm not depressed, but yet I'm just saying that every one of us, we walk through dark times. I'm just using my story as an example. And here I am walking back and forth in my mattress store saying, God, if you just speak the word, I need a little bit of light. I need a little bit of revelation. I need a little bit of enlightenment. God, if you'll just speak the word, I'll start making the phone calls. If you'll just speak the word, I'll do what I need to do. Because there's only one thing that's important, God, and that's your calling. That's the church. That's revival. Oh, God, you got to help me in this situation. I'm telling you, there is a moment that comes in every one of our lives that we feel the pressure and we can resist the pressure and we can say, no, I'm not selling my store. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to sell $500,000 in mattresses. Amen. Next year. And we can resist the pressure and God can say, I put it there for a choice. But if you want me to shine, if you want me to come through, I am more than willing to do it. In him was light and the light was the life unto men. Weeping may endure for a moment, but joy is going to come in the morning. There is a moment before the real moment happens, and that is the place that God calls us to a decision, and we feel the pressure, and God is just simply saying, trust me. Trust me.
Praise God. Let's just love him. Be seated. You young people, listen. Many of you young men are getting up at about that age. And you're looking and wanting to find you a spouse. And girls attracting your attention. And that's good. I'm glad it's girls and not guys. And that's right. That's the will of God. Amen. That's the will of God. Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. So it's time to start looking. But you understand that there is pressure. There is pressure in that choice. God, is she the right one? See, I'm one-dimensional right now because I don't have any girls to preach to. God, is she the right one? God, is she the wrong one? God, what do I do? There's that pressure. It's the moment before the moment. Because God wants to know if you trust him with all of your heart. And at the same time, there is pressure of an enemy that's got his hands in it. And he's trying to stir up chaos and confusion. And he's trying to stir up emotions and feelings that don't need to be so. But there's just enough light in there for an individual to say, God, would you help me? And God says, I want to help you. I want to help you. Why? All things created by him, for him. All things work together for good. And the devil knows that a twofold cord is not easily broken. And the devil knows that getting you on a pew by yourself is one thing. But when you tie into an apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled young lady, amen, and you unite together in holy matrimony, amen, it becomes a little bit harder, amen, to break, amen, an individual down. Not impossible, amen, because there's always that pressure. There's always that moment that God says, hey, if you don't want to trust me and don't want to depend upon me, if you don't want to follow after me, you always can turn around and go away. But I just want you to know you're a lot closer to victory than you consider yourself to be. That's the way that the enemy loves to do it. He knows he's given one last shot
I don't have time to get into it tonight, but there is a spiritual world that's out there. Amen. And the enemy's fighting, and the enemy's backing up, and the enemy's trying to push forward, and the church is pressing back, and that spiritual war that's going on, and the enemy knows, amen, what's in store, and he's got to try to get the trench, and he's got to try to get the stronghold. He's got to try, to make his stand. Well, glory. And he's going to do everything that he can to try to come against the church. And he's going to come against us individually. And he's going to come against us collectively. Because he knows that this is the moment before the moment. Amen. Just as when the Lord told him, he said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there in the upper room until you be endued with power from upon high. And they went into that upper room and they got down upon their knees. And they sat down in their chairs and they walked about to and fro, but they began to pray. It was a moment before the real moment showed up. I want you to know it was 7 days of them praying and seeking God, not knowing when it was going to come. God, we don't even know what we're looking for. We don't even really know what we're praying for. We're just praying for the promise. I don't know how it's going to come. Don't know what's going to come. Don't know what to expect. Don't know when to expect it. Don't know what tomorrow holds. But oh God, you said, and here I am. I'm just trusting that what you said is going to come through. I'm just trusting that what you said is going to take place. It's going to happen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there went a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were setting. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the moment passed by, and a real moment came down upon them.
What an exciting story. I just want to tell you that was the moment before the real moment. We got 120 staggering out of an upper room. And then all of a sudden they're being pointed at. And they're being made fun of. And they're being laughed at, mocked, and ridiculed. You're one of those Pentecosts. You're one of those holy rollers. You're one of those aisle runners. You're one of those tongue talkers. You're one of those dancers. You're one of those shouters. Amen. You're one of those wild people. You're one of those and stuff. The pressure was on. Amen. Peter felt some pressure before that in his moment. They came to Peter and they said, hey, Peter, you're one of those, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Amen. It was his moment before the moment. Amen. Because when the moment really happened and the cock crowed, amen, and he looked up at the Lord, and the Lord would soon say, it is finished. Hallelujah. And we can say, oh, Peter, you failed the moment. I just want you to know there was a greater moment that happened after he denied the Lord. And that was what transpired at Calvary. That's what enabled him to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, my Lord and my God, I love you. The preaching came forth and it pricked all the men's heart. And there they were in their moment, looking around at one another, all of a sudden feeling like they had no cloak to cover their sin. Because as Peter began to preach, and he said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified is both Lord and Savior. Amen. They were looking around and they were a little bit embarrassed of who they were at the time. They were a little bit, amen, a conscious of what had just happened a few days earlier than that. Amen. And so finally somebody, amen, reaching out in their dark infested world and looking to a piercing light coming down. Amen. He cried out and he said, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, I'm going to let you in on the moment. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God.
God shall call.
Let me tell you something, friend of mine. If we had 120 pray through to the Holy Ghost, I'd have a high ho shouting time. But what do you think about 3,000? Whoo! Son, we probably really could sing that song. We're going to shout, 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 shout all night. All night. I'm being a little bit frivolous here. Did you see the sign several months ago that they put down there on the senior citizen? Amen. It said, we may not be able to party all night, but we can at least party till the sun goes down after we take a nap. Yeah, I'm starting to learn the feeling. I'm telling myself all the time, I'm too young to feel this old. Something's got to change. I just want you to know and understand that every moment presents its problem, its issue. And you can look at 120 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you say, that's not a problem whatsoever at all. Let me just tell you, I wished I had that problem. 120 brand new converts. But I just want you to know that was the moment before the real moment. 3,000 by the end of the day were baptized or received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't cut God short. Don't cut God out. Don't limit God. Don't put a box on God. All things were created by Him and for Him. He's saying there's a purpose for this. You don't see what's going on a little bit further down the road, but I do. And there's a purpose. There's a reason that you're feeling the way that you're feeling right now. And you feel like you're in the moment, but there's another moment that's on the way. There's another moment that's coming down the dusty road. Hey man, you don't understand everything that's going on in your life, but some things have got to happen so that the Son of God can be glorified. Oh! 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 Hallelujah! I feel the spirit of prophecy on me right now. Sister Stacy, the moment had to happen in your life so that the next moment can happen. Hey man, you just got to hang on and hold on because there's a moment. Because God says, I've got something better. I've got a different purpose. I've got a bigger purpose in all of this. I just got to get you to trust me in the moment. And the devil thought he had you about counted out. And the devil thought he had kicked you a good blow. And he had knocked you down. And the devil's standing back smiling. But it's not over till it's over. And God said, I've got a purpose in all of this. God is still saying, hey, I'm still saying, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let's stand. I feel like there's a few of you that are about this far away from your next moment. I feel like there's a few of you that are just about this far from breaking through your current moment.
Amen. And all the dark clouds that's been hanging over your head. Amen. You're not very far from the sun beginning to shine back down into your life. I'm telling you, when I woke up at 2:13 this morning, I just felt it. I just felt it. There's a moment before the moment really comes to pass. I said, God, where is all of this? Amen. I just felt it. I just felt it. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, there's blessings to be had. I'm not a blab it, grab it. I'm not a pie in the sky. I'm not necessarily a name it, claim it. But I'm telling you, every promise that God has made, they're mine. Amen. It's not the devil's. It's not the enemy's. It's mine. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to bless your comings. I'm going to bless you when you go out. I'm going to bless you when you come in. You're not going to ask, amen, to borrow from men, but people are going to ask to borrow from you. I'm going to bless your storehouse. I'm going to bless your kind. These promises are mine. They're yours, child of God. They're yours, child of God. Go ahead and tell that devil he's a liar. I don't care what he's told you. I don't care what he's trying to push on you. He's the father of liars. It's just a moment before the real moment comes through.